Alright, we're rolling. Today is September 23rd, 2017. I'm Mary Manning with the University of Houston, and I'm working on a research project called Community Practice, Identity Building, and the Gulf Coast Sound. I am at the home of Isaac Rodriguez, who is a DJer, a DJ, who has kindly agreed to share his knowledge and expertise about DJing and Tejas Got Soul. Yes. So, tell me about Tejas Got Soul.
Okay, Tejas Got Soul. I'm gonna go to the beginning. Tejas Got Soul started. Well, the seed was planted when it was probably about 5 years ago. My grandma was in town, and she was staying at my aunt's house, and she had just retired, and she was moving up north with one of her grandsons, so she was having an estate sale. So when I was going to pick up my grandma, who lives in LA, she was at my aunt's house, who was having an estate sale. So when I drive up, and I don't really see this side of the family, like I don't see them, I'll probably see them once every 3 years. Basically, when my grandma's in town, I'll go see her sisters. I've never been close to that side of the family, just because, you know, my grandma was never around. She was always in LA. But anyway, back to the store. So I went to go pick up my grandma, and my aunt was having an estate sale. And when I walk in, I noticed that they're pricing everything, and everything's boxed up. And my grandma's, we said our hellos, and we hugged each other. And she said, your tia's having an estate sale. If you see anything you want, just take it. And the first thing I said was, does she have any records? Thinking that she might have some whatever kind of records. And my aunt was like, yeah, I do. I have a shoebox full of 45s in the back somewhere. I'll go get them for you. So when she went and got the 45s, she gave me the box, and I started looking through the box. And I pulled out like a Sonny and the Sunliners 45. I pulled out a Little Jesse and the Teardrops 45. I pulled out a Joe Bravo, and all these were like their old Tejano bands, but this was before they even played Tejano. This was when they were playing R&B and soul, so it was all their English stuff, which kind of, I had the box and I was like, whoa, what is this? Teardrop Records, I knew that was from a Houston label. And so I was definitely like, it caught my attention to go home and like check them out. But I spent the day with my grandma, and then as soon as I got home, I came home, opened the box, I cleaned up all the records, and I started playing them on my record player. And immediately I was like, I felt the connection. I felt like I had been missing out all these years. I had been into punk and ska and reggae, and I was collecting those records already, and I almost felt guilty for not knowing much about this, being that this was going on in my own backyard. This is what my family listened to. And it was great music. So from then on, I just kind of became obsessed with it. Like, everything I had before I put on the back burner. Like, I was I would DJ mostly Jamaican records and stuff and reggae and ska. And I just slowly started going toward the Tex-Mex stuff, the R&B and the soul. And I don't speak much Spanish, so I was immediately interested that these guys were like me. They were Chicanos, but they were doing English. And then after I start getting into the English stuff, I started getting more into the Spanish stuff. And I didn't know anybody else was doing this at the time, but as soon as I started researching, like, I found there was other guys, mostly in San Antonio, that are pretty much doing the same Tejas Got Soul does. There's a guy named Jason Saldana. He does El West Side Sound System. There's Hector Gallegos and Rambo. They do Alamo City Soul Club. There's Jerry and Chuco. They do Chicanos of Soul. And all these guys are from San Antonio, because the majority of Chicano soul from Texas comes from the west side and south side of San Antonio. As soon as I seen that they were already doing it, I felt like I was behind. I had got kind of a push because I guess I got into it at the right time, because all these records and these Chicano records that she gave me, the Little Jesse and the Teardrops, these go for like now $500 to $1,000. I would never pay that for a record, like, I'll go out and dig, and if I find the record, I find it, and I do find them, or I'll trade from another record collector. But, you know, I guess the Texas thing is real hot right now with collectors and with DJs, so I think I got into it just right before it blew up, but not soon enough to where I could get these records for, like, $5 or $10, because I hear a lot of old stories where Jason from San Antonio, he's always telling me, man, I used to buy these records for $5. Nobody wanted them, and now there's records priced on eBay for $1,500, you know, a Chicano record from, you know, Texas. So that was the beginning of Tejas Got Soul. That's how I got into it. That's how the seed got planted. So I started collecting more and more records. I would go out digging. I would go to San Antonio to dig. I would go all over Texas to dig to find these records, 45s and LPs. Once I got my collection good enough, it was probably like a year after my aunt gave me that first box of 45s, is when I threw the first Tejas Got Soul event, which it wasn't even called Tejas Got Soul. I hadn't found a name for it yet. What I was doing is I was building my collection, and at the same time I was looking for the right place to do it at, because you can't go to any Tejano bar in Houston and play old Tex-Mex. They're not going to have it. They want to hear Selena, Emilio, La Mafia, all the popular stuff from the 90s, you know, the popular Tejano. So you can't do that, and not only can't do that, you know, the owners of these bars, they don't want you to come and play this old music. It's gonna, not everyone is into it, you know, not everyone gets it. Even Tejano people don't get it, you know. So I had to go and find the right bar, the right spot to do this at, where I knew that it would work. So I was looking all around, going to different places, and I had a gig somewhere, and after that gig, we had just moved to the area. It was probably 3 years ago. I stopped at the D&W, which is right down the street, and when I stopped in there, like, I automatically felt the vibe. It was a good vibe. I think there was a rockabilly show that day, and right when I walked in, I seen Nick at the bar, and I was just talking to him, and I was like, who does the booking here? And he was like, I do. I was like, oh, really? And I felt the connection, because even when I was in the punk, or and I'd go to ska shows, I would go to these Tejano events, and the only other person from that scene I would see there is Nick. So I knew that he was into the same thing as I was. You know, I knew that he was, you know, his family was probably raised him just like mine did. He grew up around this music. So, and I knew he was a, you know, I've known him when the bands he played in, and I knew that he was into music. So I was like, hey, Nick, I got this idea, man. I want to do like a night of oldies and Tejano oldies and English oldies, just like, you know, an oldies night basically, but we're gonna do Tejano oldies. And he was like, yeah, man, I dig that, that sounds cool. He's like, I'll hit you up about it. So, you know, I had left that night, and a few months passed, probably even a year or close to a year, and he didn't hit me up. I was thinking it was just like bar talk, you know, he just agreed to it or whatever, and I kind of just wrote it off, but I was still collecting my records. And then finally one day he just messaged me out of the blue. He's like, hey, Isaac, do you still want to do that DJ night? And I was like, yeah, heck yeah, I've been waiting for it. So he hit me up. We set a date. The first one was on the Valentine's Day weekend, so we kind of had a spin off of the Valentine's thing. It was on a Sunday, and we couldn't think of a name for it, so Nick just called the event Noches en el Barrio, like Nights in the Neighborhood, and it was a dance where people could come out and hear the old Tejano music and the oldies. So me and Nick did that. That went good. A lot of people came out. So he told me, we had a meeting about it, and he was like, look, we'll do it again and again, you know, once a month or something. I was like, cool. It still wasn't Tejas Got Soul at the time, but we did Noches en el Barrio for like, I'd say the next 3 months, and we were thinking of a name to name the crew. All right, so 3 months went by. We were doing the events. We were calling it Noches en el Barrio, and we wanted to, like, make a name, like, come up with a name for ourselves that would describe us, to let people know what we were about. And we did the first three, I think, like, once a month, and then I think Nick got real. He was still with Billy Joe Schaefer at the time, and he went on a tour. And when he went on a tour, it kind of, the DJ nights kind of were put on pause because, you know, Nick wasn't here to book them and stuff like that. So I think we probably didn't do one in like 4 or 5 months. And in that 4 or 5 months, I was doing my other events at other bars and stuff like that. And one day I was just sitting down at work, and I was just thinking, like, man, what would be the best way to describe what I want people to know that we're about? And I was like, I definitely want to put Texas in there because that's what I represent the most. You know, I'm a Texan. And I want it to represent, I want people to hear the name and know that I'm Mexican, I'm Chicano, you know what I mean? And I want people to hear the name and know that, basically when they hear the name, I just wanted them to know everything that we're about. So and the soul, when I said soul, I didn't mean, you know, just your soul music. I meant just like heart and soul, you know, like Tejas got soul. So I was like, wow, Tejas got soul, that sounds really cool. So because like I was thinking, like, you know, the conjunto artists, they put their heart and soul in the music. The guys who did the Spanish Tejano, they put their heart and soul, the soul and the R&B. So I was like, that it's gonna be Tejas got soul. And then I was, like I said, I was into the Jamaican stuff at the time, and the Jamaican DJs, they were known for their sound systems. Like, they'd go set up their sound systems all around Jamaica, and people would come out and dance. So I still wanted people to know that I would be able to get down on some ska and reggae if I had to. So I threw the sound system behind the Tejas got soul. Most people just call it Tejas got soul now, but it's Tejas got soul sound system. And so Nick was on tour, and I had made a flyer for an event I was having, and it was the first time I had put the name out there. I put, you know, Tejas got soul presents. Tejas got soul sound system presents. And as soon as Nick seen the flyer, he messaged me. He was like, hey, who is that? And I was like, that's me. And he was like, wow, dude. He's like, you came up with a good name. That sounds awesome. He's like, who else is in it? And I was like, just me, dude. And he was like, cool. I was like, I mean, you're down, right? Like, this is what we were working on. If you like the name, then let's call ourselves this, you know? Because one thing, you know, during those months, me and Nick weren't, he would come up with the name and I would come up with the name, and we weren't agreeing on it. So I kind of just stopped asking him what he thought of a name, because I felt so passionate about this name that I was like, I'm going to call it this, you know, this is what's going to be, you know what I mean? Hoping that he was going to like it, and if he didn't, I was still going to stick with it. So he liked it, and I mean, he loved the name, and ever since then, it was me and Nick. So the Tejas got soul, we start putting it out there, and started DJing, and we specialize in, like I said, the old Tex-Mex, the early days of it's called La Onda Chicana, which was what they called Tejano music before it was called Tejano music. If you talk to any like old schooler, they'll say La Onda, like it was called La Onda Tejana or La Onda Chicana, like they called it both, but they didn't call it Tejano music. So basically that's what we specialize in, Tex-Mex, early Tex-Mex, and the R&B and the soul that those guys were doing before they were doing Spanish. The record labels, Keylock, Teardrop, all the record labels out of San Antonio, Cobra Records, and just all these different record labels. Like, honestly, I'm to the point where when I'm digging, I'm not looking for anything else but Texas music, specifically that. There was a big scene in LA, and I do spin some of the East LA stuff, but for the most part, it's Tejas Got Soul specializes, and we spin early Tex-Mex, English and Spanish. And that's about it. We've been working on shows and events, but that's the message we're trying to get people out there to. Like, don't forget about these original guys who paved the way for all these bigger Tejano artists like Selena. Selena's dad was in Los Dinos, which were a Chicano soul band from the 60s. Like, they, you know, you see them on the movie, but they were a real band. They're on the Selena movie they came out on. They were a real band, Los Dinos. They did English R&B and soul. And, you know, there's albums and records out there. So, you know, all these later Tejano artists, they kind of reap the benefits of these guys. And a lot of these guys are still performing today and probably didn't make half as much money as Emilio and all these, La Mafia, but they're still doing it and they still love it. So that's basically what we're about.
Describe how audience interaction influences what you play and how.
Okay, so just last night we had an event, and there was a lot of older people there. They were like in their 60s and late 50s and maybe even early 70s. They were loving the music. Like, some of them were coming up to me saying, man, you're taking us back to the Pan American Ballroom. and I was like loving it, you know. I was spinning like record after record that I knew that they would like, you know. And then some girl comes up to me, she looks like she's in her late 30s, and she's like, don't you have anything newer than this? Like, this is like old stuff. Like, this is like from the 50s and 60s. She's like, you're putting me to sleep over there. And I'm like, well, yeah, tonight is actually like a branded night. Like, we do oldies, Tejano oldies. And she's like, oh. And she's like, but can you play stuff newer? Newer being the newest stuff these people want to hear is like from the 80s and 90s. So I guess it's new, but it's really old, right? So I guess we started playing stuff that, you know, she wanted to hear. We try to make everybody happy. But as far as like the connection with the crowd, when the crowd's feeling it, I'm feeling it. I can start digging deeper and deeper in my box and pulling out some rare Chicano Tejano stuff that these people probably hadn't heard in years. Or somebody can come up to me and make a request like to hear some of the later stuff that kind of throws a little damper in my vibe. And but I'll make them happy and I'll play the stuff. I don't mind the stuff. I like the stuff too. But like I said, but when the crowd's feeling it, I'm feeling it, you know what I mean? When I'm feeling it, the crowd feels it. You know, if I get in the zone and I know I'm you know, I'll go to wherever I DJ. I like to go there like the day before or get there. If it's my first time, I'll go there the day before or early in the day to see, to peep the venue, peep where I want to be, where I can tell the crowd would be dancing at. You know, I like to get there and peep out the crowd, the vibe itself, so I can know what to bring, because like I said, we're only limited to what we can do with Tejas Got Soul. You know, you can't go play early Tex-Mex music at like a yuppie club in the Heights, you know what I mean? They'll kick me out, you know what I mean? Like, I'm limited to where I can DJ, so that's why I only DJ in certain spots, mostly spots that are in old Chicano neighborhoods. I can do other stuff, but when we're talking about Tejas Got Soul here, it has to be at certain bars, you know, in Northside or in Magnolia or in Second Ward and here in Eastwood. And, you know, those are the places that I'm after. Those are the places where it's not uncommon for me to be playing the music of someone who was actually on the record. That's how we met Manuel, Manuel Mendiola. So these are the places I know, you know, this is where like the family of these people go. And I like to keep the music in these kind of places. I don't really like to take it out anywhere else, because I don't know, it just feels weird when I do that. But the crowd, and as far as me getting along with the crowd, like I said, it has to be in the right place. And the crowd has to be feeling what I'm doing. And I have to be filling the crowd, and sooner or later we get them up there. You know, we start, because there's a lot of hits that these guys did that you wouldn't even know they were Chicano artists made them. Like "Bully Bully" from Sam the Sham, and that one always gets them going, and everyone loves that song. That's probably one of the most popular songs. And Sam the Sham is from Dallas. He's a Chicano from Dallas. 96 Teardrops from Question Mark and the Mysterians. That Chicano. Those guys did that. Redbone, "Come and Get Your Love." All these songs, like, they always get the crowd going. No matter if the crowd hates what I'm playing or if they love it, like, this just throws more flame on the fire if they love it. Everybody comes out and starts dancing to those songs. And with those songs, I get them going. And then I'll just slide in some more stuff with the same vibe. So definitely, I have to be feeling the crowd for me to get in the vibe. I just can't. That's just how I am. That's how I am with everything. And if I'm with someone and they feel a certain way, I kind of vibe off them. So I definitely vibe off the crowd. I mean, if that answers your question, I'm not sure.
It does answer your question. My next question is going to be a little related to that. Okay. I'm going to ask you maybe to tell me more about what you mean when you say it gets them going and gets them up there. I'm pretty sure I know what you mean. But tell me how the audience responds to the music that you play.
Okay,
tell me a little more about that.
So say I'm playing a set of rancheras, nobody's up there dancing it, and this is like one DJs, we always, you know, we always say, like, there's a certain song that's gonna get them going, and if this is not working, like, honestly, like, early in the day, when I get to a gig, I don't start playing all my my the best stuff right off the bat. You know, you want people to come in, you want them to start drinking, you want the drinks to start flowing, because people don't like dancing when they're sober. That's just, you know, that's just how it is. They don't like dancing when they're sober. There's a few people that will, but for the most part, people want to be drinking with their friends. You know, the music's playing in the background, then later on through the night they start catching a buzz, and then they start, you know, wanting to dance. So I'll save the good stuff for around that time. So what I'll do is I'll play whatever early in the day, early in the night, and then a song like Bully Bully from Sam the Sham, I'll put that on like in prime time. And when I say get some going, that gets them to the dance floor. It just happened last night. Like that song right there, the dance floor was empty. I played that song like at the right time, and before you know it, there was 15 people on the dance floor, 20 people, which is big for the DMW, because let me note that it's a small place. It only fits like 50 or 60 people. It gets them going means that we get the dance floor flowing. I mean, that's a DJ's main job, is to get the dance floor going, you know, to keep the people entertained. So once you break the ice with a good song, then all throughout the night, people will start slowly coming in, off and on, dancing and dancing. So that's basically what we mean by get them going, get their blood flowing. You know, you play that one song that's gonna hit, and they're gonna get to the dance floor. Because I mean, you know, there are some nights when, you know, on a Sunday people don't dance at all, you know, and it does kind of a DJ would notice, you know. But Saturday night, Friday night, I mean, you definitely have to have the dance floor packed, and there's songs that will do that, genres that will do that. Cumbia will always get the dance floor going, you know. So that those are the stuff that like I keep on the side for the right time of night, where I'm gonna play all this stuff to get them going. And basically, once you get the dance floor going, I mean, that's what it's all about. Everybody's having fun. I'm having fun. They're having fun, and I'm vibing off of them. That's basically it.
Can you tell me about some of the conversations you may have had with people, like the audience, about the music?
Okay. A lot of the times when I'm DJing, like I said earlier, the music that I'm playing, these records that I'm playing, these bands that I'm playing, a lot of them are from Houston. So it's not a surprise if one of their family members is at the bar where that I'm DJing at, because, you know, these musicians were from these neighborhoods, from Second Ward and Northside and Southeast and Magnolia. So just the other day I was DJing, and I was playing Sunny and the Sunliners, and the saxophone player, his name is the saxophone player from the Teardrop era of Sunny and the Sunliners, because he was on Sunglow, Teardrop, and Key Lock. So the Teardrop era of Sunny and the Sunliners was basically the Houston Sunliners. Everybody in that band was from Houston except Sunny, but while he was here recording, he was living in Houston while he was on that label. So the Sunliners at that time were basically a Houston band. So anyway, all these guys, they have brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews, and the saxophone player that played on that lineup, his older brother was there. His name's Woody, and his older brother came up to me. This guy is probably 80 years old. I mean, he didn't look it. He was dancing all night. And he comes up to me at the end of the night, and he's like, "Hey, man, you were playing Sunny earlier." And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "You know, that's my brother. My brother played in that band." And I was like, "Wow, really?" He's like, "Yeah." And he picks up his phone, and he calls his brother on the phone. And I guess Woody is now a truck driver, and he was out driving his truck. And his brother was like, "Hey, man, I'm here with the DJ." First he got on the phone. He was like, "Hey, brother, I want you to know that I love you and I respect you." I guess he was a little buzzed. He's like, "Man, the contribution you made to music is still going strong today." He's like, "Man, you know, you're the pride of the family." And he's like, "Well, anyway, I'm sitting here with the DJ. He just played, he was playing your music all night." And he's like, "He wants to talk to you." And I was like, "Hello?" And he was like, "Hey, what's up, man? It's Woody, man." And I was like, "Hey, man, I just wanted to say thanks for the music you left behind. It's great. I love it, you know." He's like, "Yeah, man, no problem, man. When I'm not on the road, I'm in town. When I'm in town, you know, here's my number. We'll hang out. I'll tell you some stories." And I had met Oscar Villanueva, so I told him, Oscar, that was their band. That was the same band, the same Sunliners. So I was like, "Yeah, man, I know Oscar. I met him, too." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I haven't seen Oscar in years, man." And when I seen when I talked to Oscar, I was like, hey, I talked to Woody. He's like, hey, what's that fool up to? but yeah, so the conversations I have with the people that are there that are interested in the music, they're always real special to me, you know. Like I love the fact when someone comes up to me and tells me, man, this song reminds me about my grandpa, or man, I haven't heard this song in years. It's always something real sentimental, like it always something like that they hold close to them, like that has sentimental value. One of these, you know, these songs, you know, they're favorites of them and they grew up on them. So it's not just like, oh, that's my song, man, I love that song. This is, it's like, oh, my, I remember my mom used to clean the house and put that record on, you know, and that means a lot to me, you know, because that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Because especially here in Houston, it's not like in the Valley or San Antonio where they, it, like, it's Tejano pride over there. Houston is really not a Tejano city. So when you find those people, when you find that crowd that they're kind of the people that you're looking for, and when you find them and they're sitting there telling you, oh man, I hear you Saturday nights with Gus, man, I came to check you out, and you know, you and Gus get down, man, like, you know, y'all are keeping La Onda alive, and it means a lot, you know. So the conversations are always real, really, really special, and they mean a lot to me. When I mean, someone can make my day when they come up to me and tell me, like, man, I love this, man. My parents got married at the Pan American Ballroom. And just last night, there was a crowd of people, a table of people, like 8 people. And as soon as I was playing these songs, they were like, ooh, DJ's taking us back to the Pan American Ballroom tonight. And I just, like, I was like, exactly. You know, that's my mission was completed, you know. But, yeah, so that's there. The conversations are special, you know, especially when they have they tell me a personal story about a family member or something like that. And that's pretty much what this music, what it is, always is. You know, someone doesn't just come up to me and say, oh, good stuff, man. They come up to me and tell me a story about why they like it and what they remember about it, you know. So that's what I really enjoy out of it.
You mentioned playing at the D&W Ballroom. Can you mention some other places that are...
Okay. The D&W, I play down the street on Canal. It's a coffee/motorcycle shop. It's called R&R, HR, Rock and Roll Hot Rods. I played at Eastdown Warehouse. I used to do my Tejas Gatzon Sundays over there. I've DJed everywhere. In Houston, Fitzgerald's, House of Blues. But we're talking Tejas Got Soul sound system. I only do that at a few places. I've done it at Fitzgerald's a few times. At Fitzgerald's for opening up for different bands. At the Continental Club. We do it at the Big Top, which is right next door to the Continental Club. So basically D&W, R&R, HR, the Continental Club, the Big Top, Fitzgerald's, Eastdown. These are places where I've done Tejas Got Soul. But me as a DJ, I've DJed anywhere and everywhere you can think of in Houston. Oh, Tejas Got Soul, we DJed at Rockefeller's. So if there is like a music hall like Rockefeller's or FIDS, it's usually for maybe Los Carnales playing or some other kind of Mexican influence band might be playing, and then they'll come ask us to DJ. Yeah, so that's about it. I mean, there's other places I've DJed, like in these little neighborhoods, bars, but I can't think of the name right now. But
tell us a little bit about some of the other DJing you've done, and do you still do that, or is that more?
Okay, what influenced me to DJ in the first place was, I was into ska for as long as I can remember. When I was a kid, I mean a baby, like 9, 10 years old, I had older brothers and sisters. They were into punk, which got me into punk. And then when you're into punk for so long, you start to, you know, some punks, they throw a rockabilly influence, and a lot of punks do ska punk. I felt a connection with the ska punk right off the back. It was just fun music. You could dance to it real easy. It lifted your spirits up. So once you get into ska punk, then you start researching more and digging more, and you find out, you know, the two-tone stuff from London, and then before that, the real stuff from Jamaica. So once I got into the Jamaican stuff, you start you know, researching the culture, and you find out, you know, these guys were, it was a big DJ culture in Jamaica, like back in the 60s, like Coxin, Studio One, they would come out and they would bring their whole sound system out and just basically throw a party in the middle of, you know, a neighborhood somewhere in Kingston. So that really caught my interest. So I started buying records I was buying records first. I didn't have like a DJ set, but I'd be playing my records at my house. And I just one day just was like, man, I need to get some turntables. I had turntables years before, like in 98, I had a pair of turntables. And I was also, being from Houston, I was into DJ Screw. And that's what inspired me to buy my first set of turntables back in 98. And I never DJ'd. I wasn't going to be a DJ. I just had them at my house just to mess with them, just learn how to screw and chop the music. So fast forward 10 years later, that's when I bought turntables again to DJ, but to DJ ska music, because I felt like that was the right way to do it. If you're going to DJ this music, you should be playing it on record. I mean, just like the originals did it. So I was, again, I had to build up my collection. And once I had enough records to where I felt like I could go out and spin the set, I started spinning all around town. I was in a ska band at the time, so what I would do is I would just put myself on the event, because when I was in the band, I was, you know, pretty much the organizer, and I'd promote the promoter. So I just throw myself, because I would notice, like, first I would bring like a mixed CD out, and I'd just burn a bunch of songs on the CD and play them during intermission, just to keep the vibe going, the ska vibe going, and just to turn kids on to the older stuff. I've always been about roots, you know, roots music. If you're gonna be in the ska, you know, don't just listen to like the Mighty Boss Tones or the Specials, which are great bands, but learn the roots of it, you know. So I know there's punk kids out there, you know, they're into the Operation Ivy, and so they'll come to my ska show, but they've never heard of like King Stitt or Delroy Wilson or the Scatolites. So what I would do is I would make CDs of all this older stuff, so at the same time the people who do know who they are could enjoy it and know that we know our roots. Like, there's ska bands out there, and you know, when you're in a band, people are all like, yeah, these guys, they're playing ska, but they don't know nothing about it, you know. But you know, I wanted people to know that, hey, we're playing, you know, ska, modern ska, but we do know and respect our roots. So I'd make CDs of a bunch of all the old stuff, and then I noticed people were digging the songs and people were dancing. Sometimes a really good song would come on early and no one was there to hear it, so, because it was on a CD that I made, you know. So I told myself, man, I'm just gonna start bringing my turntables and DJ during intermission myself. So I would do that, and then once I started doing that, I had friends who were having birthday parties or events, and then they'd hit me up like, hey Isaac, you want to DJ my birthday party? And I was like, whoa, like, I never thought about that, but yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then soon after that, I start having other DJs ask me, hey, I'm doing a Jamaican night, you know, you want to come spend with me? And then as soon as all that went off, I started figuring out that people do want to see DJs too. A DJ can entertain a crowd just as well as a band, you know. So I started promoting myself as a DJ and just doing DJ events with no band in it at all. Because my first events were, I was just a little extra on the side, you know, I was just the intermission guy, the DJ. But once, you know, people started coming around and hearing more and more and more me DJing, they kind of, especially with the ska thing, I'm gonna add, because once I started Tejas Got Soul, I kind of had to reinvent myself and rebuild my crowd, because just because I'm into this music, my friends can come out and support every once in a while, but they're not really into it. You know, my friends that I had for years, they're into ska and reggae and punk, you know. So there's some of them that do actually like it, but for the most part, I feel like when I got in Tejas Got Soul, when I started that up, I had to rebuild the crowd, because when I was doing the Jamaican stuff and the ska and reggae, I throw a little punk in there too. The place was always packed, like no matter what. But at the same time, I didn't have my son and I was hanging out more, so it could be because I had more friends back then. But yeah, that's the other stories of me DJing, like the other side. And I, once, like I said, once I got into Tejas Got Soul and started doing that, I kind of just shied away from the Jamaican stuff, and I don't really mess with it anymore. I will, you know, I was supposed to DJ the Scatolites next week, but I don't have a babysitter, so I'm not gonna be able to do that. I was looking forward to that, but anyway.
Tell me what roots and roots music mean to you. That may be two questions.
Okay, roots music is basically self-explanatory. It's roots. It's the music that is from, you know, started from the ground up. Like conjunto is a form of roots music. It was started here in Texas, and basically it's just the beginning of a genre. Maybe, like, you know, you have Jamaican roots music. Ska is a form of roots music. It's basically the root of the genre that grew, you know. So much grew from conjunto, you know. Tejano grew from conjunto. You know, roots music is a music, and it's usually from a certain location, you know. You hear, like, Texas roots music is conjunto. It's South Texas roots music. Reggae is, you know, it's a roots music. It's from Kingston. You know, you have stuff like that, like basically the beginning of a genre, I'd say, like, if that makes any sense, like the roots of it, you know, the forefathers of a certain genre of music, any genre of music. You know, you go back to the roots, to the root of it, you know, who was there first, you know, Flaco Jimenez, Narciso Martinez. These are like Texas roots legends, you know, that they were started. So I'd say that's what roots to me is.
How does your act get gigs?
We basically, I don't really go fishing for gigs anymore. People hit me up, they hit us up and ask us if we want to spin at their establishment. And before I do, I make sure it's clear to them that they know what I do, and that, you know, this is what I'm gonna do. Are you okay with that? And then they either say yes or no. Unless it's an event that we put together, like the Tejas Roots event, we put that together, and that's something we work on. But if it's like Rock Baby, like Biggie asked me to DJ that this past year, we just get hit up. And when the DNW wants us there, they pretty much let us know, like, hey guys, you guys ready to come in this weekend? Like, yeah, sure. Basically, that's it. Just ask us and we'll do it, basically. If we're what they're looking for. So, yeah.
I'm going to kind of go back to the last time we interviewed, you said, next time ask me about funk. And I'm also going to mention that a lot of people who are kind of DJing roots music now kind of came out of that punk scene, and you kind of hear, like, about the Clash a little bit. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I think punk, me being into punk so young, and most punks, punk teaches you, one of the things it teaches you is the DIY attitude, to do it yourself. And another thing it teaches you is not to be closed-minded when it comes to music. Because, first of all, you have to be open. Well, I guess at that time, because now it seems like punk is more accepted or whatever, but at that time growing up, you had to be open-minded to be into punk. So with bands like The Clash, when, you know, you get into punk and then you see a band like The Clash that not only were they playing punk, but they were playing reggae, they were playing, you know, like rock and roll, like they did it all, but they did it with the punk rock attitude, and which is like the DIY attitude, like do it yourself. They appreciated roots music from other cultures and genres, you know. They were into hip hop too, you know. They appreciated the whole hip hop thing. So basically, the fact that I was so young in the punk, or anybody, punk teaches you not to be like those, not to judge anyone like those people are judging you, you know? Like, I remember living in the Heights and walking to Fitzgerald's, and this is back when the Heights wasn't as nice as it was. I knew that walk was going to be a heck of a walk just to get there, because there was a lot of, you know, Mexican gangs in that neighborhood at the time, and we had to walk through these streets. You know, my brother was a skinhead at the time. His friends had dreadlocks. His girlfriend had purple hair. You know, and this is in the early 90s. Purple hair wasn't a normal thing like it is now, you know. And just, like, we would get so, like, harassed at that time. So one thing you learn is, like, don't ever, like, judge anyone, because I was just like those guys. I just liked different music. That was it, you know. So when you go to roots music, I think why punks are so open to roots music is just because we're not judgmental. Punks are real passionate about about music, period. So punk honestly is like a gateway to roots music, you know. Even if punk has nothing to sound like, there's nothing in punk that it sounds like an old Jamaican record, it's still, that was my great gateway, like the lessons in life it taught me, like, be open-minded and don't judge anybody, you know, by what they're into, you know. If anything, learn to check it out and learn what it's about, you know what I mean, if that makes sense.
Tell me about some of the acts that you've DJed with, some of the bands that you've played with.
A lot of the bands I played with are from Houston. I just played with Rudy T. Gonzalez, Rudy and the Reno Bops. I DJed for his event over at the Continental. He's an old Chicano R&B soul Tejano guy. He's in his mid-70s. He still performs. Los Cardinales, I always play with those guys. They're Houston legends. Nick Gaitan, I DJ with him. Manuel Mendiola, I DJed for that event. Basically, I just DJ for artists that I have a connection with, that the music has a connection with. Los Naolatos from San Antonio, Pianta Protest, I DJed for that event. I've DJed for so many other bands, but not Tejas Got Soul, you know. I did the ska and punk stuff. But just to name a few of those, I DJed for Lee Scratch Perry and the Scatolites. I DJed for Voodoo Glow Skulls. I opened up for these guys, D.I. from L.A. They're like an L.A. punk band. Who else? I mean, there's just so many, I can't think of it. Who else? The Lee Scratch Perry show and the Scatolites was a lot of fun. These aren't really Tejas Got Soul events, but that's just like, I done those with the ska and reggae thing. And I will DJ a ska and reggae event under Tejas Got Soul too, just to add that in there. The Vibrators, I DJed opening up for them. So many other people, I just can't think of it. A lot of the local bands, but it's always good. It's always fun when it's Los Cardinales or Nick or someone like that. Just local guys around here.
Bringing it back to Tejas Got Soul, would your set maybe be a little different at the DNW than it would be for opening up for an act at the Continental Club?
Yes, I would probably, if I was at the Continental Club, I'd probably play more of the English stuff, because I mean, it's such a diverse crowd over there. And chances are, if you're at the Continental Club, you're at an R&B, rock and roll, or rockabilly event. So I would do the Tejas Got Soul, and I would play. And there's tons of Chicano R&B that fits right in that the Continental, that gets the crowd going over there. And at the DNW, I always feel more free to play the rancheras and the conjunto and the Spanish stuff. So yes, there's definitely a change. I do more R&B and soul at the Continental, and I throw a couple of Spanish tunes here and there. But at the DNW, my set is probably 60% Spanish. So.
What would you say about DJing and the community of people who come to your shows and the people you DJ with that I haven't already brought up? What questions should I have asked that I didn't?
Can you repeat that one more time? Oh, I'm sorry.
What should I have asked you that I didn't, or what would you like to say about DJing Tejas Got Soul?
I just like to say about Tejas Got Soul is that my whole reason for starting it and being and doing it and feeling passionate about it is to shine a spotlight on the musicians from the past, the guys that started it, and to let people know that they're still alive. I mean, some of them are still alive, that some of them are still performing, that this awesome music has been kind of swept under a rug and doesn't get the notoriety that it should. So basically, the whole reason for me doing Tejas Got Soul is to represent Houston and Texas, but to let people know that, you know, it wasn't just happening in San Antonio and East LA. It was happening in Houston too. And basically to preserve the culture. I think that's just what my...
I can think of one more question I might want to ask you. And this is maybe related to something you'd mentioned to me before, but does your feelings about the roots, your roots and root music, has that changed since you've had a child?
Yes, definitely. That's one of the main reasons that pushes me to do this, because I want him to be proud of who he is. He's a fifth generation Houstonian, Texan, and I want him to grow up knowing that he's from an amazing culture, you know. I want him to grow up knowing that his dad was preserving it so that he can be proud of himself. Yeah, I think that's it, pretty much it.
Is there anything else you want to add?
Oh, no, that's it.
This concludes the interview with Isaac Rodriguez.
All right.